Do you remember getting a toy as a kid and being disappointed because you found out that toy had limitations that were not evident in the commercials, right? I mean, in the commercial, it looked like this toy would be amazing and it would do everything that you could imagine, and then you got let down. I remember getting walkie-talkies as a kid. Now, walkie-talkies have come a long way since the 70s, but when we first got our set of walkie-talkies, we thought this was gonna be just like every Army movie we'd ever seen, and we could communicate from miles away, and we'd be able to talk from one house to another house, and it just seemed like those walkie-talkies, if they got more than 20 feet apart, it was just nothing but static, and they were such a big disappointment. We found that the walkie-talkies had their limitations, right? And then you get older and you get other things and you find out that everything has a limitation. In fact, you found out when you got your cell phone plan that unlimited data doesn't really mean unlimited data. Right? That there's a limitation, that there's a boundary on what is being offered to you. And it develops such a cynicism in us that we just sort of expect that after a while. We just sort of expect that when somebody says that something is unlimited and that there's just no boundaries whatsoever, that we're going to find in the small print underneath that, that it says, you know, terms and limitations apply, right? It's always in the fine print. In fact, I have an unlimited data plan on my phone, but it's not really unlimited at all. And you reach a certain point and they start to throttle you back, and then you reach a certain point after that and it's done. It's not unlimited. And we find that in relationships too, right? As we grow and as we get older, we are told that there's unlimited love, that there is unconditional love. And yet, it seems really hard to find unconditional love. When we're growing up, the love that people have for us seems to be closely associated with our behavior, right? Man, I was grounded all the time as a kid. I was just grounded, like, perennially. I was always in time out. I was always isolated because of my behavior, because my behavior didn't measure up. And even though our parents would never want to communicate to us that that somehow means that we're not loved, it's discipline, and I'm all for good discipline, it sends kind of a message to us on some level, right? That people's love for us, people's warmth toward us, people's relationship with us, it has limits. It's not really unconditional. And so as we grow and people tell us about God, and they say, well, God has an unconditional love for you, I think there's a natural part of us that's just like, yeah, I've heard that before. I'm not so sure that there's such a thing as unconditional love. I'm just not sure that I can be loved because I know myself. I know what I've done. I know what I've said. I know what I've thought. I know how I've behaved toward people, and some of it's really great, right? I wish that people knew all the great things I did and how awesome I can be on my best days. But I'm also terrified that anyone would actually know how depraved I am, how sinful I am, how selfish I am on my worst days. And so when we think about God and we're told that God knows everything about us, and we're told that God sees everything that we've ever said or done, that God even knows our thoughts, we can't help but draw the conclusion that God's love for us surely couldn't be unconditional, right? And that's really important in these times that we're in right now, because we're wondering, like, is God totally in charge? Does God still have the whole world in his hands? And if we've been talking about over the last several weeks, whether or not God has the whole world in his hands is largely dependent on whether we believe that God is good, that God has our best interests at heart, that his love for us is unstoppable, unconditional, and has no limitations. And is God great? Like, can God really pull off what needs to be done in my life? Like, is God really looking out for all the things that I'm concerned about right now? Is God looking out for the situation with people's health right now? Is God looking out for the economy right now? Is God looking out for my personal economy, for my job and for my family and for all that we need in this season? How can we know? How can we be absolutely certain that God is good and that God is great? And how do we know that we won't just reach his limit at some point, the limits of his love. And we'll realize that God is just like everyone else in our life, our first boyfriend or girlfriend, or our first friend on the playground. Remember those friends on the playground that would say, you know, I'll be your best friend if you do this. And then they would say, I won't be your best friend anymore unless you do that. I mean, that's just sort of the way that we've been conditioned all through life, that relationships are somehow dependent on what we do, how good we are, whether or not we deserve someone else's love. And so Jesus comes along and he talks about this idea that God would love us unconditionally, even when we don't deserve it. And it's kind of exciting to think about, but it's also something that just sort of raises our skepticism, right? Like, could God really love me that way? Well, we've been looking at Romans 8 over the last several weeks. And this is a letter that Paul, one of the first disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, that Paul wrote to churches all around the Mediterranean. He planted a lot of churches. He wrote a lot of letters to different churches. And he wrote a letter to the church in Rome, to the believers in Rome. And he had never been there. He'd never met these believers. And he was very excited to share with them all the details, really, of what it looks like for us to be able to have an unrestrained relationship with God, unrestrained access to our Heavenly Father because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross and because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus. And so Romans chapter 8, it's right in the middle of this letter that he's writing. And he's explaining to them that creation is broken, that creation is groaning, that we see this reflected all around us in a world that falls short, in a world that's full of limitations. But as we're going to look at here in these verses today, then he gives us some hope. Some hope that while the world has limitations, God's love might actually be unlimited. Listen to what Paul says here. He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, he says, "What then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Man, I love that. I think that's just such an awesome, encouraging part of Paul's letter here to say, really stop and think about it. God is for you. God is for you. The creator of the universe is for you. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? And then it goes on to talk about God's love. You know, the world has let you down. You've let yourself down. Maybe you've been put in time out. Maybe you've been grounded, you know, by someone else or even by yourself, and you have felt isolated, okay? And this is the word he's going to use, actually. He says, who shall separate? And when he says separate here, he means the word isolate. That's really the best translation. Who shall isolate us from the love of Christ? This is verse 35. Shall trouble or hardship, or persecution? Like these things that come from outside, should they isolate us? Should they separate us from the love of God? How about famine or nakedness? How about danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Now he's actually quoting there from a psalm in the Old Testament. And it's a psalm where the psalmist is talking about the fact that he's really kind of lamenting that bad things happen to good people, that we live in a broken world, and that undeserved things happen to us. And so this is a quote here from the psalmist, and he says, for your sake, we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. It's part of a longer psalm that says, why are these bad things happening to us, even when we feel like we're trying to be good people? So Paul reflects that, this idea that it feels like sometime that things are hard, that tough things happen in life. But Paul says, no, these things, they don't separate us from God's love. He says this, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Like nothing can stand in our way. Nothing can stop us. Through him who loved us. So because of God's love, we have incredible power and authority over the brokenness of this world, because we belong to the God who created this world. We belong to the God who made this world perfect. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, not the distractions of life or the finality of death, neither angels nor demons, not all the goodness nor all the evil, neither the present nor the future, so time's not a boundary for God's love, nor any powers, like, what did I leave out? Neither height nor depth, space and place are not boundaries, nor anything else in all creation. Okay, seriously, did I leave anything out? Will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's like Paul is saying, can you think of anything that can separate you from God's love? Anything in your past, anything that's going on right now in your world, anything that's going on in your family, can you think of anything that's going on in the economy or in your health? Or can you think of anything that somehow would disqualify you, would isolate you from the love of God? And his answer is nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. All right, let's see if I can find something in my garage to help us illustrate that nothing can separate us from God's love. So, imagine that this represents you and this represents God. And when these two are put together, that absolutely nothing can separate you from God's love. How would you join these two together to show that nothing can be separated? Well, I'm a big believer in Gorilla Glue. And so I think if you took a little bit of Gorilla Glue and you use this to put these two together, you could illustrate that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing that you've done, nothing that you've said, nothing that you've thought can separate you from God's love. And if you've used Gorilla Glue, you know, it doesn't take very long at all to set that together. And in just a few seconds, that'll be firm. But maybe you're like, I don't know if that really applies in my case, because something happened when I was younger, when I was a teenager, I was a young adult. Maybe, you know, something that your family didn't approve of, you felt like your church didn't approve of. Maybe you got pregnant before you were married, or maybe you had a run-in with the law, or maybe you got kicked out of school at some point, and you thought, because of what someone said or the way that they viewed you, you thought, That probably reflects a little bit of how God feels about me too. And maybe I'm separated from God's love. Maybe God's love is strong, but it's not that strong. Maybe I found the limits of his love. All right, let's see if we can find something else. Duct tape, right? I mean, nothing is better than duct tape. And maybe if I put duct tape around this, this will illustrate for you just how strong and just how permanent and just how lasting God's love is. That nothing you do, nothing you're a part of, and nothing you're involved with could possibly separate you from God's love. I mean, do you believe that? Do you believe that the Gorilla Glue and duct tape would be a good illustration of God's love for you? That God's love for you is so strong that he has bound himself to you and said, you are his child, you are his adopted child, and nothing can take you away from that. Nothing can separate you from God's love. And maybe you think, I don't know, I used to think that, but then something happened in my life, something happened in my marriage, and we recognize that people viewed us differently. Maybe something somebody at church said or made you feel like you could be separated from God's love. Let's see if we can find something else. Maybe you need to be reminded one more time that God's love is so strong that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Maybe you used to believe this. Maybe you used to think it was true. Maybe when you were a kid, you believed that nothing could separate you from God's love. But then you got older. Oops. But then you got older. And that seemed like childish belief. And you began to think that maybe something could separate you from God's love. Something you'd done, something you'd said, something you'd been a part of. Maybe all of those things added up and they were too big and they could drive a wedge between you and God. Maybe it was a broken relationship. Maybe it was a bad decision you made at work. I don't know what it was, but something stepped in and made you feel like you'd found the limits of God's love and that you could be separated from your Heavenly Father. And so Paul writes this for you. He writes this in Romans chapter 8, and he writes it directly to you. That nothing can separate you from the love of God. That nothing can separate you from the love of God. Because Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross is bigger than anything that you could do. And his resurrection and the empty grave is bigger than anything that you could do. There is nothing that you could do to separate yourself from the love of God. There is a bond that is unbreakable, that has no limits, and it is God's love for you. So listen, you can make a choice today. You can believe that God's love for you is inseparable. And you can choose to put your hope and your trust and your faith for the future, for eternity, and for today, for the economy, for the political situation, for your health, for everything that's going on in our world that has you stressed out, that has you worried. You can put all of your trust and hope and faith in the fact that God's love is inseparable, that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And when you can fully trust in that, when you can rest in that, when you can step into the fact that you are inseparably loved by God, it will free you up to love the people around you in a whole new way. You'll be able to love them more powerfully because of how God has loved you. Maybe you've even seen that in the life of someone that you know, someone that you love. They've placed their hope and their faith in God, and you've seen it make a difference in them. You've seen them be able to freely love the people around them. And God wants that for you as well. He loves you. He wants you to experience eternity with him. But he also wants you to have the assurance right here and now in this life, in this world, that nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing that you've done, nothing that you've said, nothing that you've ever been a part of can separate you from the love of God. So, when you take a step, when you trust Him, when you believe that God is good, that God is great, and that He has the whole world in His hands, it means also trusting that He has you in His hands, that you matter to Him, that He knows you better than you have ever been known, and He loves you more than you've ever been loved. And that love, it's unconditional. It really is. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I invite you today to put your hope, to put your trust into God, that maybe all these circumstances around you would drive you to a place where you would say, God, I'm not in control, I'm not in charge, and I'm not sure that anything is dependable or trustworthy in my life. But I'm gonna trust you, God. I'm gonna take a step and place my faith in you. I would invite you to just pray a simple prayer. There's nothing magical about it, but simply to say, God, I'm going to trust you. I need a Savior. Jesus has demonstrated through His death on the cross and through His resurrection that you are good, you love me enough to die for me, and you're great, you're powerful enough to conquer death on my behalf. And I want to place my entire life, my eternity, and my here and now in your hands. I trust you, God. I'm going to follow Jesus. Will you pray that prayer? God, thank you so much for loving us in such a powerful way. Thank you so much for being a God who is so good and so great that we can trust you with everything. I pray today that someone watching this would take the step and place their faith in you. And we ask all of this in your name.